What is up, guys, and welcome back to the second installment of the Best of Foreign Ancient History podcast, otherwise known as the BOFA podcast. On today's episode, we'll be discussing more details about how the pyramids were built during the Middle Kingdom, specifically talking about other jobs aside from pyramid building and how ancient documents tell us more about these pyramid towns. Now, I know I talked a little bit about this in my last podcast, however, I wasn't really able to go into as much detail as I would have liked to, so today we'll essentially be breaking down the last segment of my first podcast to give us a better understanding about how the towns surrounding the pyramids actually operated. And for this discussion, I'll be using a reference I used in my last podcast called The Pyramid Builders of Ancient Egypt, a modern investigation of the Pharaoh's workforce by Rosalie David, just because I think that's a really good source and it's a very detailed summary of what actually went on in these pyramid towns, just as those who didn't work on the pyramids. David mostly talks of the town of Kahun, a Middle Kingdom settlement located just south of the Nile Delta in Lower Egypt. Kahun was originally built during the reign of Sesostris II during the 12th dynasty, and after his rule it was abandoned and then later repopulated in the 13th dynasty during the rule of Amenes IV. And a lot of this information that we know about Kahun or about the unique lives of these workers come from fragments of papyri, or paper that was used to document the happenings of the town. David states that there were two main types of papyri used, one for legal documentation and one for educational purposes. This is especially important because the Egyptian legal system is known to us only through these kind of documents. This shows us that the people of this town were not only literate, but they also had a sense of legal organization and conducted legal and business practices as a norm. On top of that, it was also custom for children to be educated, showing us that while, yes, they were technically doing the pharaoh's bidding by working in these towns, the residents were not expected to only be pyramid builders, and they were taught to read and write. As mentioned before, it was mostly peasants who worked in these towns. However, David spoke on a topic that really caught my attention. From my previous research, I was under the impression that the residents of these towns were simply there because they were peasants and they really had no other job opportunities. However, David does mention the use of Asiatic slaves, Asiatic meaning of Asian descent. These slaves, however, didn't necessarily work on the pyramids alongside the peasants. From the papyri text, we learn that in one part of the town, of the Asiatic, 7 were men employed as domestics or cooks, and 30 were women who were shoekeepers or involved in weaving. Upon further research, I came across a text titled A Papyrus of the Late Middle Kingdom in the Brooklyn Museum by William Christopher Hayes. This text is a book of papyrus notes from the Middle Kingdom with translations and discussions by Hayes. Hayes confirms that slaves were typically owned privately by those with higher social status and wealth. Hayes also affirms that male slaves were typically household servants. A primary source I found that tie all this together is a painting titled Winemaking, found in the Tomb of Ipuy, estimated to be drawn around 1279 to 1213 BC. This painting, which is also going to be found in the gallery tab on my website, depicts slaves as suspected Asiatic descent collecting grapes to make wine. While David confirms that slaves were used in these pyramid towns, other sources conclude that these slaves didn't work on the pyramids directly, working instead for the wealthy officials of the town itself as a cook or shoekeeper. Now, my original thought was that it seems somewhat redundant to accumulate all these slaves and not have them perform hard labor such as pyramid building. And so I struggled to find sources on why that is, but I believe there's actually a sound reason behind this. So these slaves were likely brought to Egypt through slave trade, and we can see this from David's account of the larger number of female slaves than there were male. And we can also probably rule out the idea that they were captured as prisoners of war, just because females didn't typically fight in wars during this time, and so they wouldn't have been captured as prisoners of war. I think the pharaohs didn't want the slaves working on the pyramids because in the rare event that they would escape back to where they came from, the pharaoh wouldn't want his pyramid plans to reach the hands of the enemy. Okay, and I don't have a ton of time left, but one more topic I do want to briefly touch on is how people in these towns were fed. Now, in my last podcast, I know we discussed how most of ancient Egypt was a cattle culture and they were dominant in herding cattle. However, I didn't really go into detail on that, especially in regards to pyramid towns. Obviously, pyramid building requires a lot of difficult physical labor and requires a significant amount of sustenance to be able to complete said labor. An article titled A Tale of Two Sites, Old Kingdom Subsistence Economy and the Infrastructure of Pyramid Construction, written by Richard Redding, gives us a bit of insight on this. Now, I know you're thinking, Luke, this whole podcast has been talking about the Middle Kingdom pyramid towns. How is that similar to the Old Kingdom? And you're right, they are different time pyramids. However, the characteristics of pyramid towns from both kingdoms are, for the most part, relatively the same. And I chose this article because Redding really goes into depth about the actual dietary needs of pyramid workers, which really couldn't have changed that much from the Old Kingdom to the Middle Kingdom. So, Redding states that for a pyramid town, a complete herd for 1 year would need to be roughly 21,900 animals in size. Of course, a herd this size needs to be managed. And Redding says to supply 10,000 occupants, a pyramid town must support roughly 4,700 full-time herders, meaning there is a significant portion of this town's population that didn't work on the pyramids, nor did they complete tasks similar to the slave duties. And while I would love to go more in depth about the dietary patterns of pyramid workers, that is all the time I have for you today. Thank you guys again for tuning in to the second installment of the BOFA podcast. And as always, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe below. And we'll see you next time for episode 3. Cheers. Truly